have a faithful, wonderful Heavenly Father. And as we look today, I know there are those out there that Father's Day is a hard day for you. And it might be because you didn't really know your dad, or your dad is no longer with us. But one thing we can all remember today is the fact that we have an awesome, amazing Heavenly Father that loves us and cares about us. And as we've talked about the past several weeks, He's our good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God takes care of His sheep. Now today we look at the title of the message, and the title of the message is The God of My Valleys. And we all like the mountaintop experiences in the Christian life. And it takes it's a long time. You go hiking, any of you like to hike? And you go to a mountain peak, a mountaintop, it's a lot of work. But when you get up there, it is so awesome to see everything down below. But then right after you get up there, you got to start heading back down before it gets dark. And all that work to get there, that's what life is. There's hills, there's valleys, but in the midst of it all, God is right there in the midst of it all. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Today we're going to take the first part of verse number 4. If you've been to a funeral service or memorial service, this verse gets used more than probably any other passage in the Bible, and rightfully so. Verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." Let's read that one more time. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." We don't get to decide in life when we're on top of a mountain or when we walk through a valley. And there are many valleys we walk through in life. It could be from a doctor, a phone call, and you've entered a new stage of life you never thought you were ever going to go through, and it's a valley. It could be, as we talk about death here in this passage, the valley of the shadow of death. I'm a chaplain also for the Chino Police Department. One of the things that I do, my main job is to be there for the police officers. But once in a while, I'll get phone calls to do for the public death things and things like that. So yesterday, and in the past year, I've gotten one call out. And yesterday, I got two in the same day. So that doesn't happen too often. I was down at the airport, because you heard about the death at the airport yesterday. Two deaths at the airport yesterday. I was there with that. A very nice, family-friendly Father's Day airport celebration with planes flying in the air. And you go from 1 minute celebrating the awesomeness of the day to a family, a husband, a dad, gone right before your very eyes. Valleys come very quickly, and we don't know when they're going to. The other one was in the evening. A husband and wife been married 65 years. And they went to the store, came home. Husband was having a hard time breathing. And he told his wife to call 911. And she's like, "It must be bad for him to say that." And he was gone a few minutes later. Valleys come. We don't all experience the same valleys through life. But if we live long enough, we're going to go through this valley, the valley of the shadow of death. What's the difference between those that know the Lord and those that don't? We all walk through the same valleys. The difference is, as a Christian, He's there with you. That's the difference. Some people think the Christian life comes and there's going to be no more problems. That's not what the Christian life is. As long as we live in this life, there will be problems. But the fact is, Jesus is with us in the midst of it. About 2,900 years ago, the king of Syria had some servants that made this comment. He wanted to destroy Israel. And he made this comment in 1 Kings chapter number 20 and verse 23. Listen to what the servants said to the king of Syria about Israel. He said their gods, referring to Israel. Their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain. Let's go down in the valley, and surely we'll be stronger than they. So the servant of the king of Syria, he literally thought that the king of Israel, or the God of Israel, was only good to them. They could fight in the hills. So let's go meet them in the valley. Well, I'll just give you the gist of the story. Israel had 7,000 men, which wasn't a whole lot. Syria had multitudes of people. And they go to battle in the valley. Verse 27 of the chapter says, "And the children of Israel were numbered, and were all present, and went against them, and the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids." They were like nothing compared to the Syrian army. Look what it says, "But the Syrians filled the country. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he's not the God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude in thy hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." You know what that tells me? God is not just the God on the mountaintop experiences of life. God is still God in the valleys that we go through. And Israel's enemies were like, "Well, your God's only God when everything's good and you're up here." But God said, "No, I'm good when you're up here, but I'm also good when you're in the valley. I'm not going to leave you down here, and I'm not going to leave you anywhere." Hebrews tells us he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. We go through valleys, but we don't enjoy them, do we? But God knows what he's doing. The song that Marian sang a few minutes ago, life is easy when you're up on the mountain. But the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. There's another song, even in the valley, God is good. And as we dive into the scriptures today, and as we look at things, the Bible talks about valleys over and over again. And you know, there is great significance in the Bible about the different valleys that are mentioned and things that might help us. You might be in one of the valleys that I'm going to mention this morning. Now, if I had 4 hours, we could go through every valley in the Bible. But we don't have that much time. Don't worry, everybody. You'll get out of here in plenty of time. And some of you, that was the first smile I've seen all day, where you're like, you were worried there for a second, and then I took it back. But as we look here this morning, I want to give you some thoughts about valleys, show you some biblical examples of valleys, and then what God wants you to remember in the valleys. You this morning here could be in the middle of a valley as we speak. You could be on a mountaintop as we speak. You might be in the middle. You might be getting ready to go into a valley, and you don't even realize it. So there's truths here today that could be a help to each of us in our lives. Number one in our outline, what do we know about valleys? What does the Bible tell us about valleys? What are some thoughts about valleys? Well, the first thing is this, letter A. Valleys are a part of life. The Bible makes that clear. You can't avoid them. They're inevitable. They're a part of normal life. You can't avoid them. They happen. Don't be shocked. Don't be surprised when a valley happens to you, when you get down and go through a valley. You know, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel went into the Promised Land. And a lot of people like to say the Promised Land represents heaven. It does not represent heaven. Because if it represented heaven, there would never have been any battles. It would have been perfect. What the Promised Land represents is the Christian life. The battles we face and the fact that the Lord is with us through all the battles that we face. That's what it's about. But this is what the Lord told the children of Israel about the Promised Land. In Deuteronomy 11:11, he says, "But the land whither ye shall go to possess it is the land of hills and valleys. There are high spots, there are low spots. In the Christian life that we go through, there are mountaintop experiences. We love those. But there are also moments down in the Grand Canyon. Life is full of valleys and hills. The question is not if you're going to ever go into a valley. The question is when. It's a part of life. There's nothing we can do about it. You're going to have them. It's a part of God's plan. So, well, I don't know if I like God's plan. I get that. But you can talk to God about that someday when you see him. We don't get to decide the plan. God knows what's best. And Peter even told the Christians he was writing to in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. And trial's bad enough, but it says fiery trial here. I like that even less. But it says, don't think you're the only one. Don't feel, why did this happen to me? Things happen in life. There's nothing we can do. You might say, why? A lot of times, why me? Well, the other side of it is, why not me? Why should I be any better than anyone else? Valleys come upon all of us. And the second thing is, letter B, valleys happen to everybody. You can't avoid them. You know, you're like, well, if only, is there something I could do to avoid a valley? If I'm good, God, if I'm good, will you just not give me a... You ever feel like you're trying to live right, and then the people who live a wicked life, everything's good for them and everything's bad for you? Ever feel that way? There are many times in the Bible that there are many people who felt the same way. God, I look at the bad people, and they're just living life up. Everything's great. And you're like, I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to live the way you want me to, and I'm just suffering. My health isn't great. I don't have money, but they have money to do whatever they want. You ever feel that way? Valleys happen to everybody. No one's excluded from them. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And when you look at that verse there, we don't escape. There are many afflictions we go through. The difference between a believer in Christ and a non-believer in Christ is the fact that the Lord's there to help us along the way. Valleys come to everyone. There's nothing we can do. It's a part of life. You say, well, is God punishing me? That's how people view a lot of times. God doesn't just... Sometimes we judge people. Wow, things are going real bad in their life. God must be trying to get their attention right now. How can you say that? I think about the man that suffered almost the most in the Bible would be Job. And Job was such a bad man, right? What was Job's big problem? I'm going to tell you Job's biggest problem. That God said something about him. That was Job's biggest problem. God literally looked at Satan and said, have you seen how good this guy Job is? If the Lord wouldn't have said that, he probably would never have been on Satan's radar. So, you know, what were Job's friends? You've been a bad guy and God's just judging you. That was not it. Literally, he was such a good man. You say, well, how's that fair? No one's called us to know what's fair and what we should decide. God takes care of things. Job was a good man, and yet he suffered. The good suffer. The bad suffer. Everyone suffers. Everyone goes through valleys. Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:45, that ye may be the children of your heavenly Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust. So as we look at this and we think about this fact, everybody goes through trials in life. Everyone goes through valleys. No one's immune to it. They happen, they're inevitable, they're impartial. And then thirdly, letter C, they're unpredictable. That's part of the problem. You can't predict them. You can't plan them. How many of you like to plan things? Yeah, a lot of us like to plan things. When it comes to the valleys in life, you can't plan them. You know, it might be nice where if you, hey, this is coming, so let's just prepare, let's be all set, let's be ready to go. It doesn't work that way. No one thought yesterday, after how many thousands of times that pilot had flown a plane before, that was going to be the last flight that he ever flew. Nobody planned that. It would be easy if we could plan our things. You're going to get a call from the doctor that you're sick. All right, well, I could have everything in place so I could stay home and rest and get better for the next few months. It doesn't work that way. Valleys are unpredictable. You think everything's good, nothing's going to happen, then one day it just does. Have you ever noticed how quick a good day can turn into a bad day? One phone call, one tragedy, one accident. None of us know what's going to happen later on today. That's why the Bible tells us in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We realize the fact that valleys, they're going to happen. They're impartial. They're unpredictable. They're inevitable. They happen in our lives, and there's nothing that we can do. Did you know that you can look throughout the Bible and there are valleys mentioned, several valleys mentioned? I don't have time to go through all of them, so I'm going to give you four, and in my closing, I'm going to give you a fifth valley. I'm just going to give you a few valleys through the Bible. Maybe you're in one of these valleys today. But I want you to know this morning there's hope. When you have Jesus, there's always hope, and he can take your troubles and bring hope. And we'll look at that later on this morning. Number two in our outline is some valleys in Scripture. We're going to look at a few of them this morning. I'm going to give you just a few of the valleys this morning, and we're going to look at them and break them down just a little bit so you can see them and apply them in your life. We see, first of all, letter A, the Valley of Siddim. The Valley of Siddim. Now, it would take some time to actually understand everything about this valley, but literally in Genesis chapter 14, you had these kings going up against other kings. You had these kings in this one area that made these other kings pay tribute to them. And the ones in Sodom and Gomorrah in this area down here, they decide one day, we're not paying you tribute anymore. We're not paying you taxes anymore. So what do the kingdoms up north do? They come down and invade them and take all their stuff, and a war breaks out. Isn't it amazing how wars aren't much different today than what they were 7,000 years ago when this one took place? So the Bible tells us about the Valley of Siddim in Genesis 14, verse 10 through 12. It says, the Vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the king of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there. And they that remained fled to the mountains, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way, and they took Lot, Abraham's son, who dwelt in Sodom, his goods, and departed. So as we look at this here, we see the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah decided to try to get away. The only problem is the Valley of Siddim had slime pits all over the place. So what happened? They slipped and they fell in the Valley of Siddim. So the Valley of Siddim represents failure. It's when you slip, fall, get stuck. Ever been in a valley in your own life because of failure on your part where you messed up? Where you didn't do what you were supposed to do? We've all been in the Valley of Siddim before in our lives. There have been times where we know we should do the right thing, but we don't do it. That's why one of my favorite verses in the Bible comes from Proverbs 24. A just man falls seven times, but gets up again. You're going to fail. You're going to mess up. And this Valley of Siddim represents that. You're going to go through this in your life. You're going to have failures. You're not going to always do what's right. We see, what did the kings try to do? Instead of handling their problems, they tried to run away. And when they ran away, they slipped in the slime pits. And then they were stuck. Don't we do that with our problems? Sometimes we think the best way to handle the valley or the circumstance in our life is to run from it. Run from the failure. Don't take it head on. And we see this in the Valley of Siddim here. Take responsibility. What's your Siddim today? What are you running from? What do you need to face? What's your slime pit that you fall into? Is it a bar? Is it a nightclub? Is it your computer and what you see on your computer? You keep slipping back into it? Is it drugs? I don't know what the case is this morning. But each of us might have something that we keep falling back to. Your pet sin could be your slime pit, your Siddim. There's the Valley of Siddim. Stop running and deal with it. Let's look at another valley this morning. The Valley of Eshkol. Now, some of these names you're going to realize, and some of them in a few minutes you'll get. Eshkol is a valley that's found in Numbers chapter 13. It's the story of when Moses sent the spies into Canaan land. Now, I'm going to do something. I did this last service. I am willing to give $100 to a person if you know the answer to this. $100, okay? Say, why would a pastor be willing to give anyone $100? Because I don't think anybody's going to be able to answer this. No one could last service. And there have been people, Christians, longer than I've been alive in the last service. And some of you, same way. There were 12 spies that went into Canaan, right? To the promised land, right? Okay, there were 12 spies. We know the name of two of them. Could you name the other 10? If someone could name the other 10 spies, I'll give you $100 right now. Without looking in Numbers 13 or 12 to see the answer. Yeah, I see some of you looking now. Isn't it interesting? We don't know the name of the 10 bad spies, but we know the name of the two good ones, Joshua and Caleb. So in the Valley of Eshkol, what happens here is God has delivered Israel out of Egypt, the 400 years of bondage. They get to this area, and God is going to give them this land. This is what I would consider the Valley of Eshkol would be the Valley of Fear. You're either going to move ahead or you're going to give up. And so for the children of Israel, it came down to this. They sent the spies in. And when they came back, they gave a report. The Bible says in Numbers 13, verse 23, it says, "And they came unto the brook of Eshkol and cut down from thence a branch of one cluster of grapes. And they bare between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs." Now, this is the Bible. I believe when the Bible says something, it's true. This is hard for me to believe. It says one cluster of grapes two men had to carry on a pole. Can you imagine? I think I could give a little baby in the room a little cluster of grapes, and they could hold those today. Two men had, these grapes were that big. That's what the Bible says. Now, if it were me saying this, I would totally say, "Pastor's exaggerating." And I get that. But the Bible says it, so it must be true. These were big grapes, massive grapes. Could you imagine the juice and everything that could be made from those grapes? Think about it. Look at what it says in verse 27 of the same chapter. It says, "And then so they told him, they said, 'We came into the land wherein you sent us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey. And the fruit of it, it's an amazing place.'" But look at what it says. "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb," we all know the name Joshua and Caleb. They were the two that gave the good report. "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men that went up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the other people, against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land, though we have gone to search it, is a land eaten up, the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight.'" The children of Israel from the Valley of Eshkol had a choice to make. Do we trust God, or do we fear man? They decided to fear man, and they wandered 40 years in the wilderness there. What is it this morning that you fear? What is it that is holding you back from moving forward for the Lord? You see, in the Valley of Eshkol, as we read here, literally one minute they say, "We can do it." The next minute, "We can't. We can do it." They go back and forth. They need to make a decision. And they ended up wandering 40 years in the area there because the fear they couldn't get back from. Fear paralyzes us. Do you realize that? Over the past few years, you look at our world. I remember, I'll read the book of Revelation from time to time, and when I read the book of Revelation, it talks about people getting the mark of the beast and doing this and doing that. I'm like, are people really going to be that dumb and just do whatever this guy says? And then a couple years ago in our world, because of fear, people did a lot of crazy things. And so, Peter's awake. I'm glad to see Peter's awake here this morning. That's good. And so I don't get an amen. I just get dumb things. Yeah, I agree. I know. But the stuff that people, all because of fear. So a rapture of people takes place and people are gone. This world's going to be in a panic. It's easy to see what can happen. But as a Christian, we shouldn't live in fear. We should trust the Lord. And God told them, "I'm going to give you the land." He never told them to go say if they could get it or not. He says, "I'm going to give you that land." Are you in the Valley of Eshkol today? Are you fearful? Is there something that's come upon you that you're just not sure about? Maybe you're in that valley today. How about this third valley? The Valley of Elah. The Valley of Elah. Now, the Valley of Elah is first mentioned in 1 Samuel 17. When we think of 1 Samuel 17, we think of David and Goliath. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 17, verse 2, "And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the Valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines." It says the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. So think about it this way. You got the Philistines up on this hill here. You got Israel here. And then you've got this ogre, this giant man that's over 9 feet tall down here. And he's saying, "All right, Israel, choose you a man. Who's going to come face me? Come face the giant." And we all have giants in our lives. The things we struggle with, the conflicts in life. And there were many Israelites there. You know, the Bible says that Saul was head and shoulders above the rest, right? You know, a lot of people say, well, that's referring to his character. Do you know what things Saul did? Do you really think his character was that much better than everyone else? I don't think that's what it's referring to. I think it's referring to that Saul was a tall man. Saul could have gone out to face this battle. He didn't want to. He was fearful. He didn't want to go out here. And the Bible tells us that the shepherd boy, David, the man who penned, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," the one who penned, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." He's the one who penned these words. And verse 11 of this same chapter tells us, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Well, listen to what David's response was in 1 Samuel 17:32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." The Valley of Elah is the valley of conflict. It's where you're going to face the giants of your life, where you're going to deal with those things. And no one else wanted to do it. Like Goliath, we face giants. And those giants we face, somebody that's in your face, and maybe a giant for you, is not a giant for someone else. But for you, it is the struggle in your life. It's that giant that you got to face. Maybe you're in Siddim. Maybe you're in Eshkol. Maybe you're in Elah, and that valley's there. And on each side, the armies are standing, and down that valley, you got to go. I love how the Bible tells us that David went running to the Philistine. Later on in that same chapter, you got Goliath, this man of war. He's got a... David said this, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield." And what did David have? A slingshot in his hand. I would take the sword and shield all day long over a slingshot. But that's not what David said he had. He said, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield. I come to you in the name of God. And he's going to kick your body all over the place. And chop. I'm going to chop your head off, and the birds are going to have the best feast they've had in a long time. Because God is God." The Valley of Eshkol, the Valley of Conflict. Maybe you're there today. How about this one, the Valley of Baca? Baca? What is the Valley of Baca? Well, the Valley of Baca was a place that was a desert. There was no water. It was just dry, barren. The only place that this is mentioned in the Bible is Psalm 84. Now, these verses are wrong because someone put the wrong verses up. So you got to take your Bibles with me to Psalm 84. Say, how do you know they were wrong? Because this is the second service already, so I already know. And then the good thing about Joe back there is he'll probably have it fixed for me by the third service. That's how Joe works. That's the difference between Joe and Johnny when it comes to those things. And William just gets to be the cleanup hitter on the soundboard in the third service. But Psalm 84, look at verse 5 through 7. It says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well." Well, the valley of Baca is a desert. There is no water. But it says here, "Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God." So as we look here and we see water in the valley of Baca, it's referring to tears filling this valley. Ever cry so much you just feel like you can't get any more tears to come? Ever have grief so deep you just don't know how to bear it. That's the Valley of Baca. But as we look at the Valley of Baca here, you'll notice that when you go through it, it's dry. You get to the point where you don't have feeling anymore. You don't feel close to God. You don't feel close to anyone. You feel like you're isolated and all alone in a barren place. Ever feel that before? That's the Valley of Baca. But you'll notice that it says here, there's no life there. It's dried up, all these things. But you see the fact that those who pass through that valley make it a well. The grief, the tears. That's why grief is powerful and grief is needed. I was talking to the wife of the man who died in the plane yesterday. And her words to me, I don't have feeling right now. And that's very true. I haven't even began to process. And who knows when that will start. But grief is the process that God's given us to deal with those circumstances that come in our lives. Grief is good. And everyone grieves differently. There are some people that laugh in grief. There are some people, all they do is cry. Grief is a part of a process, and grief is good. Like we see the fact in verse number 7 here, they go from strength to strength. Well, grief is what gets you through this valley. But how many of you like to grieve? None of us like to grieve. But grief's part of what gets us from point A to point B when it comes to this valley. And you got to understand, when we look at this, the Bible says here in verse 7 that they grow from strength to strength, and growing happens as we appear before God. And one day, we're going to stand before Him. And I know there are many people who tell me, Pastor, when I stand before God, I'm going to ask Him, why did you do this? We say that now. I don't think that's going to be the first thing you say to Jesus when you see Him. I don't think it's going to be. But God uses those things. And wow, you already changed the verse up on the screen? That's pretty good. Nice job, Joe. I take back any bad thing I said about you as a sound man for the last week. Just the last week. But you see, it says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. The only way you're going to get through the Valley of Baca is through the Lord's help and His guidance to get you through. Valleys come. Valleys are part of our lives. The Valley of Baca is the valley of grief and barrenness. You say, well, you didn't mention the valley I'm in today. There are many other valleys, but we don't have time to go through them all. But you know what a valley is. Maybe one of the ones I've mentioned today is where you are, or it could be where we're headed at some point. So the question becomes, we know that valleys are inevitable. There's nothing we can do. They're going to come. They come for everyone. So the question is, what does your shepherd want you to remember when you go through a valley? What does your good shepherd want you to remember when you go through a valley? And after this, we'll be done. The Bible says in our Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Number one, remember you're not alone, that God's with you. What does your good shepherd want you to remember as you go through the valleys of life? Remember the fact you're not alone. You're not going through this alone. He's there with you. I love that song in our song. And He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. The joy we share as we tarry there, none other's ever known. He's there with you. He promises to never leave you, never forsake you. When you're in the valley, He's there. Remember, He's there and you're not alone. We look at what this says. If you circle words in your Bible, look at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You notice if you circle some words, look, circle that word through and thou. Do you see you're going to go through those valleys? It doesn't mean you're going to live in a valley forever. But valleys are temporary. You don't stay in a valley. You walk through it. You're not going to live your entire life in a valley. You're going to walk through it. It's temporary. It's a moment thing that might seem like a long time to you, but they pass. And then you see that word thou art with me. That's referring to God. Valleys are temporary, and God is with you in the midst of them. Now, I want to focus in on one more word here that a lot of times we never focus in on. that literally could be the biggest blessing you receive in this message today if you really pay attention to it. Look at what it says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Look at that word shadow. What is a shadow? Anybody? It's a dark image, a reflection of something. A shadow. Do shadows sometimes seem bigger than what something is? Yes, they do, don't they? Like yesterday, I was grateful. I went on a run yesterday, and it was hot in the afternoon. I was grateful for the shadow of the trees, because those shadows went way higher and covered me up than the actual tree itself. But when we think about a shadow, and this is a good thing for you to remember, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, sooner or later, this is one of those valleys that we all experience. Like we could go through, we talked about the ones earlier today. Those come and go, and you might not get the same one. You might not go through an Eshkol, but you might go through a Baca. You might go through a different valley. But at one point or another, you're going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. If it's a loved one, a dear friend, if it's yourself, it's going to happen. Now think about this. Let's say you're standing in the middle of the street and a shadow of a truck hits you. Are you okay? Now, what if the truck hits you? Not so much, right? Not so much. But the shadow, you're okay, right? It's okay to get hit by a shadow. It's not okay to get hit by the truck itself. You'll notice that as you look at this and as we think about death, what is a shadow? A shadow is there because of light. With no light, there is no shadow. Think on that for a minute. So as a believer in Jesus Christ and as having my good shepherd in my life, get this if you get nothing else this morning. The things that this world goes through, it takes them and hits them and destroys them, right? But when you've got Jesus in your life and the light of Jesus, you just go through the shadow of it. The shadow represents the fact that Jesus is there because there's light in the situation. The shadow represents the Lord and Him being there. The way, you think about this, the way you deal with shadows of death or the shadows of despair, the shadows of depression, the shadows of fear, and all these things is the fact that literally you got to just turn back to the light and quit looking at the shadow. A lot of times we get scared of the shadow, don't we? Why? Because the shadow's big. The shadow's dark. But the fact that it's a shadow means there's light in the situation, which only comes from the Lord. You're not alone. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What did Jesus say in John 8, verse number 12? He says, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Bible tells us that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And when you're scared by the shadows of life, turn to the light. Stop focusing on the things that scare you and look to the light. Some of those shadows in your life might be the bills that you need to pay next week. The fears, the worries, all that stuff, look to the light. You know, when you go through a tunnel, what are you waiting for? The light at the end of the tunnel, right? Keep your eyes on that light. This is what Job said in Job 12:22. He discovereth deep things out of darkness and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. God says, just remember, you're not going through it by yourself. I'm there with you. And when you know Jesus, now this is the thing you need to remember. Say, well, you say shadows don't hurt me and that death really hurt me. They do hurt. But knowing you'll see your loved ones with the Lord again someday, you will get through. You will get through. Whatever your valley is, you will get through it. That's why last night when I was at the other incident that I was at, family asked me to pray over the body, and I did that for them. A couple of the family members want nothing to do with that. We're not religious, and they walked outside. The wife and others, that prayer brought them great comfort about their husband, dad, because that's what happens through life. We face the same things this world faces, but it's only a shadow because of what the future is with the Lord. A great thought to remember and to keep in your minds. God says, just remember, I'll be with you. Isaiah 43, verse 2 says, when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with you. When through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Number one, remember that God will be with you. Number two, remember that God has a good purpose for my valley. Psalm 23 is all about the goodness of God, and it talks about the valley of the shadow of death. Think about that in the midst of it. God is a good God. God cannot do evil. He's a good God. It's impossible for him to do evil. God can only do good. God has good plans for your life, the Bible talks about. And he works all things together for good. You say, but I'm going through grief. I'm going through fear, failure, whatever it is. God has a good purpose in your life. Romans 5, verse 3 through 5 says this, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Who wants to glory in bad things going on in life? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given us. You think about this, there are lots of hope in this world, but no hope like the hope that comes from Jesus Christ. He gets us through. The book of Hosea, chapter 2, was written for Israel, and it says, and I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came out of the land of Egypt. So, Pastor, you didn't mention the valley of Achor. I didn't. The word Achor means trouble. The valley of trouble as a door for hope. God can take a valley of trouble and turn into a doorway or a gateway of hope. That's what the Lord does. He has a good purpose behind the valley. And number three, and letter C, remember that the reward will last forever. The valley, this world is not the end. You're going to be rewarded for your faithfulness. Getting through the valley of failure, of fear, conflict, grief, brokenness, trouble, and all those other ones. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our present trouble, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. When you see heaven, you know that song in our songbook that a lot of you like to sing on favorites? It will be worth it all. When we see Jesus, one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. Literally, it will be worth it. It will be worth it all. The Bible says in Psalm 107, I want to read these for you, and I know we're at 11:01, I need to be done a minute ago, but we're almost done. Psalm 107, verse 8 through 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their hearts with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Until we get to heaven, life is full of valleys. There's going to be accidents that happen, disappointments, financial problems, family issues, mental illness, physical illness. But the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is who's with you in the valley. You're not alone today, Christian. He's there with you. One last valley I'm going to mention is in Joel chapter 3, verse 14. Heard many a message on this passage. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. You have a choice to make in the valley that you're in. Are you going to move forward for the Lord? Or are you going to let the fear eat you up? Are you going to be like Saul and Israel and hide from the giant? Or are you going to be like David and go face your giant? Are you going to go through the valley of grief, the valley of Baca, and come out strengthened on the other side? Or are you going to let it tear you down and destroy you more? It's your choice. The Lord says, David said in that psalm, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you're with me.